rosary has broken and my beads of all slip through. You let down your gun. You know the war you fought, and it wasn't too much fun. And the future you're giving me holds nothing for a gun. I've no wish to be living 60 years.
Live 95 WRJM LP Coleman.
I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world. I'm afraid I can't help it. I'm afraid I can't. I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world. I'm afraid I can't help it. I'm afraid I can't. I'm afraid of America. I'm afraid of the worst. I'm afraid I can't help it. I'm afraid I can't. I'm afraid of Americans.
You're listening to Coleman's Live 95, WRJMLP Coleman. It's now time for This Week Live, a public affairs program which airs each Monday from 4 until 6. This program focuses on activities taking place in the city of Coleman, within the state of Alabama, and across the branches of the federal government up in Washington. Information presented on this show comes from a variety of sources, and although the hosts have attempted to individually validate each story for its authenticity, you should also attempt to validate each story yourself. Opinions presented on this show may or may not be the opinion of the owners, management, or advertisers of this station. And now, here are your hosts for This Week Live, Melissa Silvey and Jay Fuller.
I'm afraid of Americans.
And good afternoon, Coleman. Welcome to This Week Live. Hello, Melissa.
Greetings.
So I'm wearing my nice surfing shorts. Been out surfing today, enjoying these nice summertime temperatures. How about you?
Yeah, whatever.
So what's going on today, Fuller?
I've been out surfing.
There's nothing going on in the news today.
No, apparently not. All of the news sites are like, look out, we're going to have a decision,
Is that what they're all doing?
Yeah.
Same tone and everything?
Well, I don't know. You were looking at me calling me, what, McDefferson or something or other?
Yes. So, it's going to be a short show, I guess, if you don't have anything going on.
Yeah, I'm going to actually let you take the lead today.
Well, I'm trying to get my internet to pull up to see if we have a decision yet. Is yours up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do we have a decision?
I'm not actually monitoring that. I guess I should be monitoring that.
Yeah, I think that's probably the main news story today.
Main news story today. You're listening to Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio. If you would like to talk about any of the news stories happening today, you can call us at 256-737-9951. We're not racially charged on this program.
I'm not. Are you?
I'm a little bit racially charged after watching some of the Sunday news shows yesterday.
So what are they talking about?
I just checked the news, and it says that the Ferguson grand jury has indeed reached a decision. Now, I know at exactly 1 minute prior to airtime, they had not reached a decision. At least not that we knew about it. At least they hadn't told us what it is.
Right. They have reached a decision, and I think they are going to wait until some lovely press conference to tell us. Why does everything have to be a press conference? Why can't they just come out and say yes or no?
Didn't I read on some other site that the Michael Brown was expecting like 2.5 minutes of a moment of silence before the rioting began or something?
Parents. He's dead.
He's dead, Jim.
He's deceased. He's no longer with us. So you can't really expect anything. But I believe you said something about his parents are asking for a moment of silence. Before the riots began. Because, you know, and I had this in my show preps, you know, whatever happens, there's going to be a riot.
I sincerely hope not. Haven't we come beyond that?
Well,
let me be the optimist for hope and change.
For real. But, you know that everyone is calling Ferguson this generation's Selma, right?
I have not heard that term.
Right, yeah. Obama is sad that he missed out on Selma. And so this
Hang on. Heavy sigh. Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead.
So Ferguson is this generation's Selma. So I wonder what we're going to see in movies in 40 or 50 years.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking because now they're making a movie about Selma, and I'm sure
It's already been made.
It's going to be Hollywood's version of events.
Yeah.
What that's going to be.
Yeah, we saw the trailer for it while we were watching Interstellar.
All three hours and 75 minutes
of Interstellar.
Now, I've got to be honest, you know, being a resident of the state of Alabama and being a resident of Coleman County and being a radio station in Coleman County, you know,
all of your life.
We don't have the best racial history here, and I'm not very proud of that, but I feel like we've come a long way. It's very generational, I will definitely tell you that, and it pretty much ended with my generation because, I mean, I went to school with some kids that were, you know, not of my color, and we got along just fine. It was cool. It was cool beans.
So, You don't think that this is going to blow up in Alabama quite like it's going to in like Missouri and Ferguson and St. Louis, because apparently the rioters are holding St. Louis hostage as well.
My cell phone's blowing up, but it has nothing to do with this. So,
Obama has also said that he missed out on Selma and that he wished that he had experienced Selma. And I'm sure that Holder is saying the same thing. And I've also read reports that Obama has asked the rioters to keep doing what they were doing, which isn't that the president of the United States inciting violence?
Isn't he inciting immigration?
Well, yes, but I mean, inciting rioting and violence is...
not part of his job description.
Yeah. I don't think he took the oath to uphold the Constitution and incite rioting.
He was not elected on that particular campaign promise.
I Googled, how many people do you think are in Ferguson who are not actually citizens of Ferguson?
Are we talking about illegal immigrants?
No, we're talking about
people who are there that don't live there normally.
Yeah, people who are just camping out just to riot and protest and, you know, wait for the decision.
20,000.
I don't know. I couldn't find a number. Apparently, that's something else that the media does not want us to know. But you know, all of the rioters who are there cannot be citizens of Ferguson. Let's put it that way.
Well, I mean, you have the news media that's there, and you know that's going to include my favorite news outlet of CNN, which. If they, you know, keep up, and I hate to say it that I'm serious when I say that CNN is my favorite news outlet, but, I mean, we know they'll have one reporter on one corner of a parking lot talking to one reporter on the other corner of the parking lot.
Yeah.
How are you doing there?
When did that happen? What was that during?
I think that was during Boston.
Yeah, they were caught big time doing that.
Yeah, well.
So let's talk to the reporter across the street, and you can see him waving.
We never would have known that if it weren't for John Stewart's crackpot team.
So I couldn't find exactly how many are camping out waiting. But what do you think they're going to do? I mean, if the grand jury decides to indict the guy, what are they going to do? They're all going to pack up their cars and leave?
Well, you have read the entire book on this. Let's just discuss this since we don't have a decision yet. Will they indict the police officer?
You know, I've heard opinions.
Let me find Jeopardy music theme.
I've heard opinions that it could go either way. But let's just say, for devil's advocate, that they do indict the guy. I mean, just because these, I think it's 14 or 16 people on the grand jury, it's more than a normal jury. A normal jury is 12, but I think a grand jury is 16. So let's say that these 16 people are sitting in a room, and they're all talking about what happens if we don't indict this guy.
I heard it only takes like two to like say there was reasonable doubt, and but it would all not happen. He would not be indicted, something like that.
Well, they've said there is a decision, so I mean it's going to be in one way or the other.
Yeah.
But how long has this been going on? Like a month and a half?
A long time.
They've been waiting? All right. So do you think that these rioters who are fired up and ready for a riot and are claiming this to be their generation, Selma,
okay.
Do you think they're just going to pack up their cars and say, oh, yeah, he's been indicted. We've won. We're going to go home now, back to California or Arizona or where it is they're from.
Coming back off the demise of the world, was it a justified shooting?
You know, from everything that I've seen, the kid actually grabbed the cop's gun, actually jumped into the cop's car, grabbed the cop's gun, and tried to shoot the cop.
Is there dash cam footage? Is there any kind of evidence to
this? Well, the dash cam footage only goes that way.
True, yeah.
But I haven't seen any dash cam footage of what happened after they were out of the car.
And I have to admit, this is not the kind of thing that attracts my attention. I paid very little attention to this.
So, okay, the kid at the motto is hands up, don't shoot, or something like that. I don't even know what it is. But the kid was like 6'6", 6'7".
Is there like a rap song to that or something?
And if his hands are up and extended up over his head, that would be like 9 feet, 9.5 feet, that the cop would have to shoot.
That'd be like looking at Godzilla, wouldn't it?
To shoot through the kid's arm. Hand, because the kid was shot through the hand. And the kid's friend said he had his hands up and the cop shot him from the back. Mm. Okay, so if his hands are up, the cop is going to have to shoot 6.5 feet, 9.5 feet in the air to shoot the kid's hand. unless his hands are up by his head, which, you know, they didn't say where his hands were up to. So, nine feet in the air to shoot the kid's hand. When the cop said his hand was in his car, it going for the gun, and the cop shot the gun and shot his hand. Which is more practical? Which is more believable?
Are you accusing the cops of not telling the entire truth?
No, I'm saying that the cops told the truth, and the kid's friend, who was the eyewitness who said he was shot in the back, was a bit of a fibber.
Okay. Well,
so I will bet you $1 to a donut that whether they indict or not, we're going to have riots tonight in Fergus and St. Louis and other probably cities.
I prefer chocolate.
So,
I have some comments here.
I don't think they're going to stop. I think they're going to riot until they have the cop's head, or maybe all of the cops in Ferguson's head on a silver platter. I just don't think that an indictment is going to stop them.
No, it's just going to be the beginning. And a couple of other notes that I'll add to the fire. You know, we've already been talking about racial inequality in police departments, and it's not just apparently in this particular police department.
We have, or the nation as
well. Well, the nation, yeah, you and I haven't talked about that.
Okay.
They interviewed a guy who apparently, and I don't remember which channel I saw this on, it was one of the shows yesterday. They interviewed a guy who owns, who owns a gun shop, and he's had record sales.
A gun shop where in Missouri?
Oh, yeah, in Ferguson, yeah. Record sales. And everyone is gearing up for what might happen after the grand jury decision comes out.
So is he selling to looters, or is he selling to citizens?
He'll sell anybody who comes in, I guess.
Well, you can't sell to anybody who comes in.
As long as they pass a background check.
Yeah, right, sure. Right. Background checks.
Yep.
Nod, nod, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say no more.
Yep. You can probably buy in his store in the front, or you can come around to the back and get the express lane, you know.
Well, let's not drag the guy's reputation through the mud on the radio station. I'm sure all of his gun sales are legal.
I'm sure they are. I didn't name anybody. It could be any gun salesman in Ferguson.
That's true.
He wears a suit and tie.
Huh. So if I lived in Ferguson right now, I would be packing up my car and saying, y'all just do whatever you want to do. I'm gonna spend the next week at Gulf Shores.
Your comments welcome on this, 256-737-9951. Melissa, what do you think of the governor declaring a state of emergency ahead of the announcement?
Well, I think that's pretty smart because they have time to actually get the troops where they need them to be, you know, strategical planning and that sort of thing, cut off avenues to those who might want to...
Just go ahead and have a police presence ready to hold the peace.
Right, you know, cut off avenues to those who might want to go after, like, the police station or the courthouse or... You know, make sure that those vital positions remain safe.
While you're Googling over there, the governor of Missouri, Republican or Democrat?
I don't know. Do you want me to Google it and find out?
Yeah, you might as well. We'll have a break in a few minutes. You can do it during the break.
All right.
Speaking of which, I think immigration is the next topic up for bids on my list.
Do you before we end with Ferguson, you know, we'll be sure to announce when they come out and say that they've made their decisions to indict or not indict.
Breaking news. Ferguson announcement soon.
Yeah. So, but, you know, a lot of the businesses have already boarded up. I mean, a lot of the businesses
aren't
even open.
They never prepared themselves from when they were hit the last time.
Right. So,
and why would they? I mean, they know what's coming.
Exactly. So, you know, they're already prepared. I mean, they've already put boards on their windows and everything. They know what's coming. And, I don't think that an indictment is going to stop them. I think they're going to riot either way.
I hope you're wrong, but, you know, history is still there. We saw what happened in Florida with that whole case. I was down there when that came out. I was attending a conference at Disney, and you know, that whole situation in Florida was not far from Disney. So, and of course, I didn't pay any attention to that week either.
Right. So, okay, yeah, break time.
Yeah, it's break time. Your comments still welcome on this or any other topic that we'll have today. 256-737-9951. This is Live 95. Jay Fuller along with Melissa Sylvia. This is This Week Live going on, week four now?
Yeah.
We might be a little better than we were on day one. So stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment where we'll be talking about, immigration.
All right.
I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. Birmingham is eliminated from contention for the 2016 Democratic National Convention, the Magic City not making the list of finalists. The three cities still in the running are New York, Philadelphia, and Columbus, Ohio. City leaders say they hope the bid helps land other conventions, but critics say Birmingham never had a legitimate chance. And three teenagers and an Elmore County Sheriff's deputy killed in a head-on collision in Wetumpka last night. State officials warn of a phone scam. The Alabama Department of Revenue says someone's claiming to work for their department and is calling residents telling them they must pay a tax bill immediately. Those calls are coming from a New York area code. Officials say they typically communicate with taxpayers by letter, so don't be fooled by the call. Police in Hueytown looking for two men who stole a large amount of cash from a vendor truck. Cops say the two men used a large black pickup truck with tinted windows in the theft of nearly $5,300. The vehicle spotted near a Walmart in Hueytown on Friday.
On
I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. In money news, Whole Foods is coming to Hoover. Mayor Gary Ivey says the store should bring a fresh start to River Chase Village, which has been there for 30 years and has seen numerous stores move in and move out.
It's a great addition to our city. We've got a lot of empty buildings down there, and I think when Whole Foods comes on board, even just the announcement of it, it's going to start filling up.
Whole Foods joins Best Buy and PetSmart as the big anchor stores in that shopping center. HealthSouth moving into home health care operations. The company will spend nearly $750 million for Encompass Home Health and Hospice. The company says the purchase will complement HealthSouth's inpatient rehabilitation business. Encompass has 140 locations in 13 states. Gas prices around Alabama have dropped 6 cents from a week ago to an average of $2.64 a gallon. AAA says nationwide, motorists are finding the cheapest gasoline in 5 years, and that's great news for an estimated 41.3 million Americans who will be driving to their Thanksgiving destinations. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
The best songs from the best artists, like this. And this. Because I'm happy. Hop along if you feel like a room without a room. And this. I am the rain. You're listening to Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio. Tell a friend. Spread the word.
Hello, Coleman. My name is Jason Spiegel, and along with my co-host, Ronnie Barnes, we want to extend a special invitation to join us each Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. for Sports Talk Live.
Each Tuesday, we will announce the People's Bank Player of the Week, as well as discuss the past week top high school and college games.
Don't miss Thursdays when we welcome regular guest Greg Smith with OnlyBestBets.com at 4:25 p.m. and Greg Vosta with Campus Insider at 4:45 p.m.
Once again, please join us each Tuesday and Thursday from 4 until 6 for Sports Talk Live right here on 95.5 Live 95 WRJM Coleman's Independent Radio.
Sports Talk Live is brought to you in part by our friends at People's Bank, who bring you Where's Moolah each and every week, as well as the Player of the Week, and our other fabulous sponsors, such as Cynthia Phillips, your Alpha Insurance Agent, AK Rentals, Cyber Broadband, Fuller Optical, Michael's Flowers and Gifts, Morton Buildings, Odin's Auto Glass, Scissor Salon, and Tommy Warhurst at the Warhurst Agency, your Farmers Insurance Agent.
You're listening to This Week Live, a public affairs program airing here on Live 95. This program focuses on activities taking place in the city of Cullman, within the state of Alabama, and across the branches of the federal government up in Washington. Information presented on this show comes from a variety of sources, and although the hosts have attempted to individually validate each story for its authenticity, you should also attempt to validate each story yourself. Opinions presented on this show may or may not be the opinions of the owners, management, or advertisers of this station.
Welcome back to This Week Live, 424 on a sunny, although the sun is going down, Monday afternoon. I think it was 64 degrees outside today. Enjoyed my water skiing.
So we would like to thank Odin's Auto Glass, one of our sponsors.
That's correct.
Hitting a bird on the interstate doing 70 miles an hour.
Not a fun thing.
Will do a little bit of damage to your windshield. So thank you, Odin's Auto Glass. Looks good. Looks like a brand new windshield.
Although we did have to pay for it, darn.
Yeah, but...
It was less than they paid us for advertising, so I guess it worked out well.
It is a new windshield, so it should look like a new windshield.
Yep.
Looks good. Thanks, guys.
So par our friend Ted Cruz on Fox News Sunday yesterday. Apparently, what is in the executive order for let's free all the immigrants, or let's let all of the immigrants just hang out with us?
Yeah, because supposedly, according to Mr. Barack Obama, it's not amnesty.
Yeah.
We're not giving citizenship to anybody. It's just we're not going to deport them. And we're going to give them work permits and everything else that they might need.
Basically, whatever he said in the executive order is not necessarily, what he said in the speech is not necessarily what was in the executive order. And this again per Ted Cruz, the Department of Homeland Security has been instructed to, quote, not enforce immigration laws for the next 3 years, unquote. And there's one exception. You know what that exception is?
So none of the immigration laws are going to be enforced.
Nope.
For 3 years.
The only exception is if they happen to be classified as a violent offender.
So that's not true because we already know, and I believe I already spoke about it, like when he released, when all of those prisoners were released from jails because supposedly we didn't have room for them and they were not violent offenders, like 75% of the ones that were released were actually violent offenders, including murderers, rapists, child abusers, you name it. He released them.
I'm just telling you what was reported yesterday.
All right, what else?
So
what about if somebody comes here from one of... Well, go ahead and do your talk, and then I'll start questioning.
That's fine. We can debate.
So what happens if somebody comes here from Yemen, and they're an ISIS supporter, and they snuck in over the southern border, and they want to wreak havoc in our nation? So are they...
Apparently, Obama will buy them some nice oceanfront property, and they'll be able to sell real estate.
So are they allowed to just hang out in our country for 3 years?
First of all, somebody has to know they're actually here. What do you think the odds of that happening are?
Well, you know, supposedly they do have to sign up. But Obama said that they will have to sign up in the spring. So
yeah.
Apparently we will have a list of them. But no, for real, I mean, this is stuff that Americans need to think about. I mean, not every person coming into our country illegally wants to just come here and do gardening or wait tables or whatnot. I mean, there are people in this world who want to hurt us. So for 3 years, we can't deport them?
I would imagine if they did something that would classify them as a violent offender, got them arrested, did something that that would be after the fact, like you said.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you can't read their
minds. So do we want to wait?
And know their intentions when they actually come to the country.
So. Right. So do we want to wait until they've actually committed a terrorist attack and then be like,
okay. Doesn't have to be a terrorist attack. It can be a violent act.
Okay. So we're going to arrest you and we can't deport you.
I wonder how many of them are ready to protest in Ferguson.
So what else? Oh, you know what? There was, I did see some stories, but I didn't read it, about how ISIS has their own agenda in Ferguson.
Oh, goody.
But, I mean, go ahead. Let us know what Ted Cruz said.
Oh, that was pretty much it. The moderator came back. I think that was Chris Wallace, so this would have been Fox. And this was kind of interesting because you know how conservative they are. Both Reagan and the first Bush also took executive action.
That's not true.
To amend immigration law.
That is totally not true.
Well, explain.
Okay, because I'm a big Twitter fan. I'm a big Twitter user. I have a super secret Twitter handle that I go by because my tweets are not always politically correct. But I did get into an argument with somebody after Obama's speech. He was saying, oh, Reagan did an executive order. Well, that was not true. Reagan signed a bill that went through Congress. He did not do an executive order. That is BS.
Well, it was confirmed on Fox News Sunday, so you might want to review that again. Apparently, both Reagan and Bush, you're partly right. They both took executive action, but it was acting after Congress had taken executive action, too.
Congress can't take executive action.
Congress had taken action. Sorry. You're right.
So they did work with Congress.
Yes. It was after and in concert with what Congress had done.
So they didn't just go off and say, hey, Congress isn't doing what I want them to do, so I'm going to make an executive order.
That is correct.
So basically what Reagan and Bush did is nothing at all like what Obama did.
Well, they're drawing parallels, but no, not really.
Okay, so parallels can be drawn between anything if you want to. I mean, we're both human.
It's like statistics.
We're both breathing.
It's like statistics.
We're both sitting in this office. We must be the same person.
You look a lot like me. You pay anyone to manipulate statistics or to create statistics for you, yes, you can pretty much make them say whatever you want them to say.
Right. You can get somebody to say whatever you want them to say. Neither Reagan nor Bush acted unilaterally on immigration. And I also found a nice little quote from Teddy Kennedy. I'm not going to quote it verbatim because I don't have it sitting in front of me, but Teddy Kennedy was like, we are going to take this action on immigration. We are going to give amnesty to 1.3 million people illegally in our country. And the Democrats will never do anything like this on amnesty ever, ever again.
And when was that?
1988, when the same time that Reagan did all of this stuff, supposedly unilaterally executive order.
Oh. Well, apparently we don't even have to go all the way back to the 80s to come up with something as crazy and insane as that, because our good old King Obama stated, 3 years ago, that he didn't think he had the authority to do this without congressional support, because, again, he's a president, he's not an emperor.
Exactly. So
what changed?
Absolutely nothing.
Who died and made him king?
No one. He is not a king. He is not an emperor. And
I cannot believe I'm saying that while laughing at the same time.
And I believe it was Ted Cruz who said that they were going to block every single appointment that Obama tries to make while this immigration thing is happening.
It's really horrible.
And also, another thing, if his executive action doesn't start until spring, guess who takes over the Senate and the House in January?
Okay, so
who takes over the Senate and the House? The Republicans.
What can the Republicans do to stop him? What can they defund? They can't defund Homeland Security. That would be stupid.
You know what they can do?
What can they do?
They can stop funding his stupid pet projects.
Could they stop funding his vacations? Could they stop funding his golf trips?
Please, please. If you're listening, Jeff Sessions, please defund everything that Obama wants to do for the next 2 years. Make his life a living H-E double hockey sticks.
Hey, Coleman, this is your show, too. We'd like for you to join in the conversation. Give us a call, 256-737-9951.
Not opinionated or anything.
Can talk about Ferguson, can talk about immigration, can talk about stuff happening locally, which will be coming up a little bit later on in the show. Anything that you'd like to talk about, that's what we're here for. This Week Live, right here on Live 95. Time for another break?
Are we going on break?
Or do you want to continue to talk about immigration? Technical got about 2 minutes.
Okay. Well, when we come back, from break, I want you to pull up that YouTube video. The SNL skit.
Oh, okay. I think we can probably do
that. Because I've got a little bit to talk about that, too.
And I'm sure a lot of our listeners probably have not heard it yet.
Oh, I'm sure they probably have. Everybody's talking about it.
Well, anybody who's not on Facebook or YouTube or
Twitter or Tumblr or
anything.
If they are looking at a computer.
Yeah. You're listening to This Week Live. Again, give us a call. We'd like to hear your opinions and your input. 256-737-9951. We'll be back after the break on This Week Live, Coleman's Live 95.
I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world.
This is Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio. This is the music we love.
I can't hear it.
This is Live 95 Music. This is Live 95 Music. If you like this,
we should swim in the streams, we should laugh, we should cry, we should love, we should dream.
And this, and this, then this is your radio station, Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio. Join Live 95 Thanksgiving Day as we begin a new tradition here in Coleman. Based on a true incident in his life that began on Thanksgiving Day in 1965 and which inspired a 1969 movie of the same name, Arlo Guthrie recorded Alice's Restaurant in 1967. Tune in at 12 noon or 5 p.m. on Thanksgiving Day to hear Alice's Restaurant. Right here on Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio. You're listening to This Week Live, a public affairs program airing here on Live 95. This program focuses on activities taking place in the city of Coleman, within the state of Alabama, and across the branches of the federal government up in Washington. Information presented on this show comes from a variety of sources, and although the hosts have attempted to individually validate each story for its authenticity, you should also attempt to validate each story yourself. Opinions presented on this show may or may not be the opinions of the owners, management, or advertisers of this station.
Welcome back to This Week Live with the music of David Bowie there, and the tune in the background, God is an American, kind of to the Nine Inch Nails style. Good song.
It was produced by the Nine Inch Nails guy.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome stuff. So, if you have been living under a rock lately, you might not have heard about Ferguson, you might not have heard about immigration. Saturday Night Live did an opening skit Saturday night that really hit the nail on the head so well that even Senator Ted Cruz talked about it, and I forgot to turn that off. Okay, turn off. Okay.
So I'm glad that the mic is live because I believe we're both going to start giggling about this.
Probably so. All right. Y'all tune in and, well, it's just 30 minutes and 30 seconds of absolute greatness.
We now return to a brand new episode of Schoolhouse Rock.
I remember this from when I was little. Do you remember this?
Boy, I was never little.
You really have to climb a lot of steps to get to this Capitol building in Washington, D.C. Say, what's that piece of paper doing here?
Oh, you mean me? I tell you who I am. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. But I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill.
Cool. What kind of bill are you?
Why, I'm an immigration bill. And one day the Republicans might create me so I could become a law.
And how does a bill become a law?
Funny you should ask. Well, first I go to the House and they vote on me. But then I need from the Senate a majority. And if I pass the legislative test,
this. And I said, oh,
the president pushed him down the steps. Oh, my sweet Woodrow Wilson.
They were made of paper.
President Obama, what's the big idea? That bill was trying to become a law.
I realize that. But you know, son, there's actually an even easier way to get things done around here. It's called an executive order.
I'm an executive order, and I pretty much...
He's sitting there smoking.
I'm an executive order, and I pretty much just happened.
And that's it. Wait a second. Don't you have to go through Congress at some point?
Oh, that's adorable. You still think that's how government works?
Don't listen to him, son. Look at the midterm elections. People clearly don't want this. I'm the black
He pushed him down the steps again. He pushed the poor girl down the steps again.
I think I landed on my keys.
But Mr. President, is this constitutional?
Of course. Presidents issue executive orders all the time.
That's right. I could do lots of things. I'll create a national park or a new holiday.
Or grant legal status to 5 million undocumented immigrants.
Wait, what?
Yep, that's what you're going to do.
Oh, my God. Well, I didn't have time to read myself. Whoa! Okay, go big or go home, huh?
This isn't over. We're gonna take you to court. We're gonna shut down all the college. Oh, damn it. So many steps. So many steps.
Well, son, what do you think about the government now?
I think I want to go into the private sector.
Me too, son. Me too. One more thing. Live from New York, Arizona!
Priceless.
Crazy.
Okay, so I want to talk about my little thing that I wanted to talk about.
Go for it.
So the Washington Post fact-checked Saturday
Night
Live.
Terrific newspaper, yes. No errors, not opinionated at all. Wonderful example. Okay.
Washington Post fact-checks SNL skit. The writer of the piece, Zachary Goldfarb, admitted in his final paragraph that what matters most for Obama's action is public opinion, and the SNL skit doesn't help him. Since when does the media worry about the public opinion of the president?
Since when do the media worry about a skit on Saturday Night Live?
Exactly. I mean, so where were they when, 8 years of George Bush Sr.'s term? Where were they? They mocked him so bad, I'm sure that he probably woke up every Sunday morning crying.
I hope not.
And, okay, so where was the Washington Post when Tina Fey said, I can see Russia from my house? They didn't fact check that little gem that Sarah Palin never said.
Hmm.
But apparently now that we have a liberal president, the liberal media is all, trying to cover his behind and make him look good by fact-checking a SNL skit. So what are they doing? The media is basically protecting the president.
I was kind of wondering how that worked for them. Did it, dramatically increase their readership?
I don't know, but Twitter is going all crazy with the hashtag Washington Post fact checks, and it's hilarious. It's like the church lady never had a TV show, and I mean stuff that just it is absolutely ridiculous. The comments on the story, I don't know. I mean, this guy is going to have to hang his head in literal shame for fact-checking an SNL skit. And his name is Zachary Goldfarb. If anybody wants to go out and tweet what a ridiculous loser the guy is. So, do you ever wonder what else the media is not telling us? Because I do every day. I wake up every morning wondering what the media is not telling us.
I've heard a lot of rumor that, well, first of all, you have to define what is the media. You know, and a lot of America finds that as CBS, ABC, NBC, ABC, NBC, Fox. Do you count? Yeah,
CNN, just Fox.
Yeah. MSNBC, well, I don't know if I think that.
Is that actually news?
I think it's opinion.
Oh, I've got a little bit of blurb to talk about with him, too. But, okay, so what is the news? I mean, don't we still have newspapers out there online?
I do want to add back to the Ferguson thing. I don't know if we knew this before or not, but apparently they're saying now that the announcement will be made at 5 o'clock.
Central? Eastern?
That's a good question.
Pacific? Mountain?
Which time zone is the...
Greenwich?
Which time zone is Missouri in?
Central, I believe.
Then that would be in like 15 minutes, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so yes, at Eastern time it would already be 5:43, so apparently it is Central.
That's true.
All right, so what is the media not saying?
5 o'clock, Central Mountain in the Pacific time.
Okay, we still have newspapers, right?
Yes.
Aren't they supposed to be neutral?
Supposed to be, yep.
Isn't the news supposed to be neutral? Aren't we supposed to leave our political biases at home when we tell people the news?
To me, there is a major disconnect in what is expected and what is, shall we say, made available. So you hear some of the pundits talking, and like you said, news is supposed to be unbiased, it's supposed to be neutral, but then you have opinion. And there are opinion shows and there are news shows. Well, leave it to me to say that about 90% of what you watch now is opinion shows. I can't find any like unbiased, and I have heard, as much as I hate to admit it, because I remember how much turmoil came out when this happened, but okay, what was his name? Had the news network, and from the news network became what was the name? Al Gore had the network, and it was Real TV or something.
Right.
And then Al Jazeera bought it.
Right.
Yep. And I'm hearing now that Al Jazeera has, like, the best coverage of any of them, and it's the most unbiased, is what I'm hearing.
Well, I wouldn't know because I've never clicked on anything from them. But, I mean...
If you're watching it, apparently. And we have it. That's on DirecTV.
So...
But I've never watched it. But people on Facebook that are friends of mine apparently have.
This guy should literally hang his head. All right, so do you want to go into Al Sharpton, or do you want another piece about what the media is not telling us?
Al Sharpton's fine. Go ahead.
Al Sharpton is...
We only have an hour and a half left of the show. I don't know if we can cover it all in an hour and a half.
Yeah, no, an hour and 13 minutes.
Yes.
Well. 23 minutes. All right, Al Sharpton owes $4.7 million in unpaid taxes. $4.7 million in unpaid taxes. Is this another discretionary non-prosecution by Obama and Holder and the liberal media?
Well, I've heard similar things about, like, half the people in the IRS owe money.
Exactly. Like, yeah, half the people in the actual IRS owe money. Who is not prosecuting them? If it were me and you... they would be knocking on our doors every day. They would take our house. They would take our cars. They would take our clothes. They would repossess our dog. I mean, if it was me and you owing $4.7 million, we'd be sitting in a jail cell right about now.
I can tell you that I would be a much happier person if I didn't have to pay any taxes.
And Rand Paul, if it was Rand Paul or Ted Cruz or Mitch McConnell or Speaker Boehner or any of these up-and-coming Republicans, the media would have already tarred, feathered, and quartered them.
Yep.
But he's a liberal guy, and he works for MSNBC, so, I mean, IRS, if you need to find Al Sharpton, you can find him on MSNBC. Is that maybe why they're protecting him and not talking about it?
I wouldn't say they're protecting him, but, you know, shall we say prosecutorial
discretion.
We don't need to bother him. He's been affected enough in his life, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so $4.7 million wouldn't work toward anything on the debt anyway. It would be like negative 0.10 seconds of our national debt. So,
yeah.
I mean, Al Sharpton, you don't owe us anything.
It's all good.
It's all good.
Okay, looking on forward to the rest of the show, it's about break time again, and we allegedly have a decision coming down around 5 o'clock or a little after. I've got a couple of items here on the local news, plus I've got some updates that are coming off of the county commission. So do you want to go local for a little while and then go back national, or what are your thoughts?
Yes, who picks up storm debris?
Well, that's a really good question. I would imagine the city or the county does.
Is it the sanitation department? Are they supposed to be cleaning up storm debris?
It's whoever apparently is not doing it.
Yeah, whoever's not doing it, could you please do it? Because the debris from the storm that came through
the first week of October.
Yeah, the first or second week of October, which is a month and a half ago, that storm debris is still cluttering around the outskirts of Coleman.
Yeah, it is.
Now, the in-town looks fine. It looks clean as a whistle, but the outskirts need some help. Where are you guys?
Yep. All right, so when we come back, I'll spend about 5 minutes on stocks. We'll talk a little bit about what's been happening last week and this week, and we'll talk a little bit about local news, in addition to the lack of sanitation in picking up storm debris. You're listening to This Week Live on Live 95. Your opinion's welcome as well. Give us a call, 256-737-9951. Back in a bit.
I'm afraid of Americans.
Check this out. We're actually getting good at this.
Hi, I'm Jay Fuller. You may remember hearing me on this frequency way back in the 90s when we were oldies, 95.5. Well, sooner or later, the good times and the great oldies went away, and WFMA started playing some good old country favorites. After a few years, though, that went away altogether. Well, now we're back, and we're the all-new Live 95, Coleman's independent radio station. We were granted a low-power FM license, and we're bringing a unique blend of music to Coleman for the very first time ever. Since launching the station back in April, we've had a tremendous response on our Facebook page. Search for Live 95 Coleman on Facebook, and you can join us there, too. We've also added several features like Sports Talk Live, which airs each Tuesday and Thursday at 4 p.m. with hosts Jason Spiegel and Ronnie Barnes. And we've added Friday Night Live, play-by-play, with hosts Tommy Warhurst and Jason Coretti. I also want to give a special thanks to the Baker family, Larry Baker, who first introduced me to radio back in the 90s, and Charles Baker and Baker Productions for the behind-the-scenes engineering here. We're not done yet. We'll become even more interactive with our listeners in the coming weeks, including giveaways from our Facebook page, as well as more local community involvement and the expansion of our music library, like it's not vast enough anyway. So thanks for listening to the all-new Live 95. Come check us out at www.live95coleman.com. Stream us on the TuneIn app if you can't get enough of the actual station. And if you're a new listener, welcome to the all-new Live 95. We're Coleman's independent radio.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. Birmingham is eliminated from contention for the 2016 Democratic National Convention, the Magic City not making the list of finalists. The three cities still in the running are New York, Philadelphia, and Columbus, Ohio. City leaders say they hope the bid helps land other conventions, but critics say Birmingham never had a legitimate chance. And three teenagers and an Elmore County Sheriff's deputy killed in a head-on collision in Wetumpka last night. State officials warn of a phone scam. The Alabama Department of Revenue says someone's claiming to work for their department and is calling residents telling them they must pay a tax bill immediately. Those calls are coming from a New York area code. Officials say they typically communicate with taxpayers by letter, so don't be fooled by the call. Police in Hueytown looking for two men who stole a large amount of cash from a vendor truck. Cops say the two men used a large black pickup truck with tinted windows in the theft of nearly $5,300. The vehicle spotted near a Walmart in Hueytown on Friday. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. In money news, Whole Foods is coming to Hoover. Mayor Gary Ivey says the store should bring a fresh start to River Chase Village, which has been there for 30 years and has seen numerous stores move in and move out.
It's a great addition to our city. We've got a lot of empty buildings down there, and I think when Whole Foods comes on board, even just the announcement of it, it's going to start filling up.
Whole Foods joins Best Buy and PetSmart as the big anchor stores in that shopping center. HealthSouth moving into home health care operations. The company will spend nearly $750 million for Encompass Home Health and Hospice. The company says the purchase will complement HealthSouth's inpatient rehabilitation business. Encompass has 140 locations in 13 states. Gas prices around Alabama have dropped 6 cents from a week ago to an average of $2.64 a gallon. AAA says nationwide, motorists are finding the cheapest gasoline in 5 years, and that's great news for an estimated 41.3 million Americans who will be driving to their Thanksgiving destinations. I'm Angie Norfell. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
Join Live 95 Thanksgiving Day as we begin a new tradition here in Coleman. Based on a true incident in his life that began on Thanksgiving Day in 1965 and which inspired a 1969 movie of the same name, Arlo Guthrie recorded Alice's Restaurant in 1967. Tune in at 12 noon or 5 p.m. on Thanksgiving Day to hear Alice's Restaurant right here on Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio.
Hello, Coleman. My name is Jason Spiegel, and along with my co-host, Lenny Barnes, we want to extend a special invitation to join us each Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. for Sports Talk Live.
Each Tuesday, we will announce the People's Bank Player of the Week, as well as discuss the past week top high school and college games.
Don't miss Thursdays when we welcome regular guest Greg Smith with OnlyBestBets.com at 4:25 p.m. and Greg Vosta with Campus Insider at 4:45 p.m.
Once again, please join us each Tuesday and Thursday from 4 until 6 for Sports Talk Live right here on 95.5 Live 95 WRJM, Coleman's Independent Radio.
Sports Talk Live is brought to you in part by our friends at People's Bank, who bring you Where's Moolah each and every week, as well as the Player of the Week, and our other fabulous sponsors, such as Cynthia Phillips, your Alpha Insurance Agent, AK Rentals, Cyber Broadband, Fuller Optical, Michael's Flowers and Gifts, Morton Buildings, Odin's Auto Glass, Scissor Salon, and Tommy Warhurst at the Warhurst Agency, your Farmers Insurance Agent.
You're listening to This Week Live, a public affairs program airing here on Live 95. This program focuses on activities taking place in the city of Coleman, within the state of Alabama, and across the branches of the federal government up in Washington. Information presented on this show comes from a variety of sources, and although the hosts have attempted to individually validate each story for its authenticity, you should also attempt to validate each story yourself. Opinions presented on this show may or may not be the opinions of the owners, management, or advertisers of this station.
5 minutes till 5. Welcome back to This Week Live, a public affairs program here on Live 95. And you may notice some of the advertisements that air on the station are not on this show. We did that intentionally. We were not sure if our opinions and all would be accepted by the other advertisers on the show.
So but if you'd like to advertise,
yeah, I was
going to
say, well, just take the words out of my mouth. That's fine.
Studio at live95coleman.com.
That's correct. We'd love to hook you up. We're about to be hitting the streets to bring a new round of advertising because our first round basically covered football season, and we're kind of nearing the end of that. So if you like the station, and we're hearing a lot of feedback that a lot of you do.
And you like our program, which we're not hearing a lot of feedback that a lot of you do, but we would like to hear feedback.
Why don't you call us and tell us? 256-737-9951. Kudos to Melissa, who basically comes up with roughly 50 to 60% of the music on the station, and I come up with the rest of it, but she does a bang-up job, ladies and gentlemen. So
thanks.
Got to give her a lot of credit for that. I'm hearing a lot of good, positive feedback out there. And, you know, we like doing this. This is something that Coleman's needed for a long time. A lot of the music that you hear on Live 95, you don't really get to hear in Coleman.
Right.
You might hear it if you travel to some surrounding cities, but you're not going to hear it here, and you are now. That's part of what we're doing here at Live 95. So.
Yeah, we wanted somewhere where we could hear music that we wanted to hear.
Let's face it, I wanted to drop my Sirius XM radio subscription, so just, you know, dump 17,000 in the radio station, and there you go.
There you go. You can listen to your own music wherever you are.
Got my own personal, it'd be, yeah, whatever, okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk stocks, because I do like to dabble in stocks just a little bit. The news that we air from the Alabama Radio Network tends to talk about the stocks a little bit, but today I noticed that in their little money segment, they mostly talked about new stores coming to Birmingham, which, frankly, Melissa, gave me kind of a yawn, because, you know, we've got that much growth and more here in Cullman. So
oh, yeah.
I was kind of just rolling my eyes going, yeah,
the growth
whatever.
In Cullman is going to be outrageous. Where are they going to put all these new houses that are going to have to come up?
Yeah, and if you missed part of our discussions in our past shows, we've talked about the growth in Cullman on previous shows. We'll probably talk about it on future shows. All of the shows here at Live 95 are available. If you have an internet connection or one of these magical internet things in a box called a smartphone, you can pull that up at live95cullman.com. Click on demand and all of the shows, all the sports shows, the football games that were done, Friday Night Live, and then all of three or four episodes of This Week Live are available there. You can stream them for your streaming pleasure, play them for your family and friends over Thanksgiving. Hopefully you have more of a life than that.
Hopefully you're not going to get into what we get into on this program at Thanksgiving.
I think some families around here probably do that. They sit around after the meal and just talk politics, and maybe not. Okay. By the way, you're listening to WRJM LP Cullman. I don't know if we said that or not, but we are legally required to. And the stock market has been doing relatively good. It's been going up and going down just a little bit, just a few points every now and then.
So but, wasn't it record highs Friday?
I was about to say the last couple of days, I think the closes have been pushing it slowly but surely higher. Today is no exception. It closed today a whopping 7.84 points higher than it opened.
Really?
Not a lot of major improvement. I know on my particular positions, I had a pretty good day. Most everything that I own went up a little bit.
So if Friday was a record high, and today was 7.8% higher, then today was a record high over Friday, which
should have been. Yep. So what are the pundits and the talking heads saying about the economy and about the stock market? And I know you and I have dramatically differing opinions of this, but basically, you know, retail has been kind of down in the dumps, but because gas prices have fallen so much, that means the consumer has a few extra dollars in their wallet, and they can go out and they can spend a little bit of money. And the retailers are kind of banking on this. They're actually planning to hire more people this Christmas than in previous years because they feel like the economy is a little bit better off than it was at this time last year. And, of course, our wonderful esteemed president will basically tell you, the economy is the greatest it's ever been, you know, in like a long, long time.
So all of these retailers who are hiring for the season are going to be part-time jobs, seasonal jobs.
Yep.
Yes, that's the kind of growth we need in this economy.
They're good through the end of Christmas.
More part-time work, more seasonal work.
Maybe good through New Year's so you can return all the stuff you don't like.
Exactly.
This week on the stock market, a few things to keep an eye on. Today, Palo Alto Networks reported their earnings, as well as a company named Workday. Workday is related to online tracking of various things, whether it be employee numbers, sales, that type of thing.
NSA?
Sure. On Tuesday, one of our favorite restaurants, one that we have right here in Cullman, reports none other than Cracker Barrel. And I guarantee you, with more people on the road, lower gas prices, that place probably going to be exploding in good numbers. Also reporting on Tuesday, Hewlett-Packard. And Hewlett-Packard has got some interesting things coming down the pipe. It's funny looking back. I'm kind of an IT guy myself. And Hewlett-Packard has had good years and bad years in terms of outlooks. Of course, they're most known for their printers and that type of thing. And the 3D printer technology is really beginning to take off with Hewlett-Packard. I saw an interview with their CEO a couple of weeks ago. They're actually going to be spinning that off to a separate company that does only 3D printing. And I was beginning to kind of wonder to myself, how is this any different than a replicator on Star Trek? I mean, that's pretty cool stuff.
Because I don't think you can make food in a 3D printer.
I have seen some TV shows where they have like made 3D guns and stuff like that, which, yeah, it is Hollywood.
You can't eat 3D guns?
No, you can't. And it was kind of funny because after you shot a 3D gun like the third time, the gun exploded in your hand. That's not really cool. But, this is something that if I had a week or two to just go play with it, I would go and find out more about it because it seems like really cool technology.
Yeah, but apparently you can make cars and hearts and phones and laptops and, you know, just anything.
So that's something that's up and coming.
And the reason that I totally stumbled over that, the other company reporting on Tuesday is a company by the name of Tiffany. I'm sure you probably heard of Tiffany. That's all we'll say about Tiffany. On Wednesday, the John Deere company will be reporting, and the outlook for that one, not very good. They apparently have a lot of international exposure, and what I'm hearing over and over again is the United States economy is kind of on a tear, on a rebound, but the rest of the international economy, certainly not, especially with us putting our sanctions on Russia, and apparently China's not doing very well, Europe's not doing very well, because a lot of those economies feed off of Russia, which we're putting, you know, sanctions on. Russia, did I hear, one of the biggest oil producers?
Yes.
And
they provide oil to Europe.
And now that we have sanctions on them, I don't know how that's impacting that or not.
But well, Europe's still
certainly
buying
doing great
their
for
oil.
Gas prices. What can I say?
Europe's still buying their oil.
Yeah. Gas prices, what, 250? We paid 255 in Decatur. It was like 261. It was 257 here now today, though, wasn't it?
258.
Yep. So just, wow, just coming on down. I can remember when it was about $1.90-something, and it was right after the Great Recession had hit. It'd be nice to see that again. We'll see what happens.
I remember when it was like 99 cents a gallon when I started driving.
A lot of the oil conversation, and there's a lot of speculation out there on it, but what I have been hearing is some of the oil-producing countries like Saudi Arabia and the Middle East, and I guess Russia too, since Russia doesn't like us because we're giving them sanctions, you know, like crazy. But the price of oil and the export price of oil, let's just assume has always been grossly inflated, because it pretty much is.
Right.
The price that they will charge per barrel or per export is basically whatever anyone is willing to pay. And I feel like they had a massive science experiment a few years ago. Ooh, let's try 420. Ooh, let's try, well, it's oil being, you know, 78, 80, 120, you know, dollars a barrel or whatever. You know, gas prices. Ooh, let's find out what people will pay. You know, will they do $5? You know, and people started, you know, dropping off. And when the supply began to accumulate because the demand had to fall off because people couldn't afford it, they thought, oh, well, I guess we've hit a high. Now, apparently, the United States has increased our energy output with oil and exports that we are actually doing pretty good.
Fracking.
And the other countries are concerned, for lack of a better term. So they have artificially reduced the amount of profit that they're taking out of our pockets to basically try to put some of our fracking and make those methods of producing energy unaffordable and put those guys out of business. So they can have their monopoly back.
So I've already mentioned Sarah Palin once. Let's do Sarah Palin Day. Sarah Palin twice. Sarah Palin's
Sarah,
motto.
Sarah Palin Day.
Was, okay. What?
I said Sarah Palin Day. Okay, go ahead.
No, what was her motto? Come on, you remember. Everybody say it with me. Drill, baby, drill. Sarah Palin wanted more drilling in the United States. Everybody mocked her, said she was stupid, said gas prices would not go down if we drilled in the United States.
So basically, Sarah Palin's been right on most everything she said. We know that the Mitt Romney has been right on almost everything he said. I think everything he said has been right.
Yes, and Sarah Palin's been right. Drill, baby, drill. Gas prices go down when we produce our own energy. I mean, who in their right mind would counter when Sarah Palin said, drill, baby, drill, if we produced our own energy, it would lower prices? Who in their right mind would say, no, that's not true. We can't produce enough oil to bring gas prices down. Who said that? Can we hunt them down?
Was it Al Sharpton?
I mean, you know,
was it Joe Biden?
It might have been. You know, if you buy a cow and your cow produces milk and all you have to do is feed that cow, do you think that you can make that milk cheaper than what you can buy it at the grocery store? I mean, come on, people. It's not rocket science.
Well, yeah, you can make it cheaper than you can buy it at the grocery store. Just go talk to any of Coleman County's farmers who sell any of the vegetables that you can buy off the side of the road versus going to, you know, buy imported peaches from wherever. I mean,
Georgia.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, if you drill your own oil, of course the price is going to go down.
Okay, so switching to a little more local news. I'm not necessarily going to quote this article right from the Coleman Times, but I'm going to, you know, cover, you know, most of the lead parts on it. So this happened over the last week. With most of the commotion at the Coleman County Courthouse this week centered on a particular murder trial, a guy by the name of Michael Lindsay, one deputy's heroics went unnoticed. Coleman County Sheriff's Deputy Gary McCullough received an interesting call Tuesday afternoon when workers at the Coleman County Driver's License Station noticed a red flag on a customer. He said he was upstairs in the trial himself and got a call from licensing saying, "Hey, we have someone here trying to get an ID, and they have a warrant on them."
Oh.
So if you're got a warrant on you, you might not want to go get your driver's license renewed. Just telling you.
Ian Coleman in the courthouse.
Yeah. Would this fall under like the, what is it, the Darwin Award kind of thing?
Yeah. So was he arrested?
Oh, the article goes on. The guy got the call. I guess he was in the fourth floor courtroom, whatever. A certain individual, who I'm not going to name because he might be listening, although he's probably listening from the county jail, was trying to receive a form of identification from the driver's license division, and they tipped off this officer. The officer came down, quote, "When I confronted him, he pushed me off and tried to run away," unquote.
You're going to try to run away inside the county courthouse. That's bright.
Quoting the officer, Mr. McCullough, "He thought he saw a chance to run, but he didn't have one." The deputy tackled the fleeing Brandon and brought him, brought him to the ground. "This is the first time something like this has happened to me in the courthouse." Kudos to the particular deputy in his diligent response to duty.
What about the clerk? Kudos to the clerk.
True. That's probably part of their job description. Fortunately, I'm assuming the clerk didn't date this guy previously and have some kind of opinion to let him get away, you know, scot clear.
Yeah.
But apparently, in taking the suspect to the ground, the deputy bruised his shoulder.
Aww.
Fortunately, and I'm adding this as a paraphrase to the article, he did not bruise his ego. McCullough, who is the officer, was not without some gusto afterwards, saying, and I kid you not, another quote, "It was all just part of the fun," unquote.
Part of the fun.
So kudos to Deputy Gary McCullough, who had a fun day in the courthouse.
Good job, guy.
Let's give him a little round of applause for that. A lot of gossip going on in the cyberspace area, shall we say, this week. There are some various underground forums on the interwebs, shall we say, and apparently there has been a lot of talk and activity around a certain social media application that has made its way.
Are we going to go into this?
Just briefly, made its way across Coleman High School. Not going to tell you the name of the app. Not going to tell you where to find. But if you
don't promote it,
I'm not. If you're familiar with the underground Coleman sites, or the sites that have a similar name to our radio station, you can find out more information on this. I have gone out and explored this a little bit. I think it is crazy. I mean, it's just all hype. It's ridiculous. But, hey, you know, some people refer to Coleman as Dolman, and after reading this, I can understand why.
So, you know, all of the social media sites and apps and that sort of thing do breed an idea of anonymity.
Yep. And which brings the stupid out in people.
Yeah. And you say things that you wouldn't say to somebody to their face.
But I can tell you they're not totally anonymous. I actually did a little research on this app. And this app has gotten many a people in many a trouble in many a areas. People who have posted stuff on this app thinking it was anonymous related to, shall we say, bomb threats, things like that.
Right.
Have gotten schools shut down. Akin folks to yelling fire in a crowded movie theater. You probably should not do it.
Right. I mean, you know, don't be stupid. Don't send in a bomb threat over social media. That's just ridiculous. But You know, the one problem that I did have with this, teachers and principals should never, ever look through a kid's phone. Never, ever.
Is that your story and you're sticking to it?
That's my story and I'm sticking to it.
I could see, I don't know.
You know, if there is something that big going down where a teacher thinks that they need to look at a student's phone, call the cops.
It's kind of reversed. I mean, obviously, if you post something on Facebook under your own account, then you're accountable for it. I mean, I'm not going to say that, you know, you don't have the freedom of speech. You do. But if you say it and it's under your account, assuming that your roommate hasn't borrowed your account when you stepped out to socialize with your neighbor, you know, you're accountable for that. They know you said it. This being anonymous, yeah, it's kind of the other way around. And if you're an administrator or, let's say, theoretically someone, you know, posted a threat, then they're finding a needle in a haystack to know who posted the threat.
Are they going to have to look through every student's
phone?
No,
they're probably going to get a warrant, and the warrant is going to get served, and the phone company or whoever maintains the connection is going to return whose IP address it was in, like, moments. I kid you not.
And well, if
they're going to know in, like, 12 hours who posted that.
Well, if the cops get involved, let them do it.
Yeah.
Schools should never be looking through somebody's
phone. And I agree. And you know what? The schools, they basically have resource officers. There are police officers on staff, on site, pretty
right.
much. So if you happen to be a Coleman High School student and you're listening to this, you know, you should make a note of that you should not post stupid, you know what, where.
Well, you know, when we were talking about this the first time, I Googled that story and told you about it. Where was it, in Massachusetts or somewhere?
I read about
north,
one, I think, in Massachusetts, one in California.
Where a principal asked a student for their password for Facebook, and the school system got sued.
That can happen, yep. And if you happen to be a teacher at Coleman High School or another school in the county, this is the least of your problems. I mean, we talked last week on how there have been like 26 arrests already this year for teachers doing things with students they shouldn't be doing.
Right.
So, you know, the spotlight is on you. That's all I got to say about that. Now, I'll tell you a funny story. It's kind of crazy. Do you remember before we even started talking about creating Live 95, that station that I had focused on in Florence? That had the aliens that came in and took over.
Oh, that was awesome.
So tell the story.
We listened to that and sat and laughed. So there was a radio station.
I read about this online and I just had to tune in to find out about it.
Right. There was a radio station in Florence that was changing formats, and what they were doing between formats was an alien couple were sitting and talking about Earth and, you know, just having jokes and stories.
These people got really boring. I think we should try a different form of music on them. What do you think? Why, yes, I think we should try a different form of music.
You know, just back and forth, you know, commenting on society and that sort of thing. And it was funny. I mean, I enjoyed it.
What morphed about it is it got so much attention and so many people were talking about it. Somehow one of the announcements got morphed into the aliens are going to take over this city, which got morphed to the aliens are going to take over this school, which got morphed to the school is going to be attacked on Thursday and Friday.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding you.
They
actually shut down the school for like 2 days while they investigated that.
While they investigated the alien invasion.
Yes.
What did they come up with?
It took them a while to track down, basically, that it came off of the whole concept of the aliens in the station, but you used to do these things in church when you were the youth group. You know, you take the youngest kid and put them at the end of the line, and you take the oldest kid and put them at the other end of the line, and you have kid number one whisper something to kid number two, who whispers something to kid number three, who whispers something. And it's, by the time you get to the 10th kid, it's nothing like what the first kid said.
Right.
That's what happened, basically. And of course, they couldn't track it down to anybody, and station management was like, you know, the official announcement is, oh, we're very sorry this happened. And the unofficial announcement, you know, they were all thinking behind the scenes is, oh, my God, can you really, did this really happen?
Yeah.
So that was that. And I mean, about this app thing with the city, you know, that's very likely what could happen there. You know, you start with one thing and the rumor goes on and whatever else goes on.
And it snowballs.
And then it's just a big mess. So anyway.
Still waiting on the decision.
Yep, I'm keeping an eye on that. The next thing that I want to go over, we have an updated county commission report. I know that can be kind of dry sometimes, but I want to read several of the bullet notes from that. We're going to take you a moment to go get you a glass of water so your throat doesn't go dry on that, and we're going to take a break. And we're also going to check on that whole Ferguson decision. And you're listening to This Week Live.
On Live 95.
We are Coleman's Independent Radio. Still want your comments, suggestions. We got a Facebook page. Search for Live 95 Coleman or give us a call, 256-737-9951. It's 518. We'll be right back.
No one needs anyone. They don't even just pretend. Jonah's in the middle. I'm afraid of America. I'm afraid of the world.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. Birmingham is eliminated from contention for the 2016 Democratic National Convention, the Magic City not making the list of finalists. The three cities still in the running are New York, Philadelphia, and Columbus, Ohio. City leaders say they hope the bid helps land other conventions, but critics say Birmingham never had a legitimate chance. And three teenagers and an Elmore County Sheriff's deputy killed in a head-on collision in Wetumpka last night. State officials warn of a phone scam. The Alabama Department of Revenue says someone's claiming to work for their department and is calling residents telling them they must pay a tax bill immediately. Those calls are coming from a New York area code. Officials say they typically communicate with taxpayers by letter, so don't be fooled by the call. Police in Hueytown looking for two men who stole a large amount of cash from a vendor truck. Cops say the two men used a large black pickup truck with tinted windows in the theft of nearly $5,300. The vehicle spotted near a Walmart in Hueytown on Friday. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. In money news, Whole Foods is coming to Hoover. Mayor Gary Ivey says the store should bring a fresh start to River Chase Village, which has been there for 30 years and has seen numerous stores move in and move out.
It's a great addition to our city. We've got a lot of empty buildings down there, and I think when Whole Foods comes on board, even just the announcement of it, it's going to start filling up.
Whole Foods joins Best Buy and PetSmart as the big anchor stores in that shopping center. HealthSouth moving into home health care operations. The company will spend nearly $750 million for Encompass Home Health and Hospice. The company says the purchase will complement HealthSouth's inpatient rehabilitation business. Encompass has 140 locations in 13 states. Gas prices around Alabama have dropped 6 cents from a week ago to an average of $2.64 a gallon. AAA says nationwide, motorists are finding the cheapest gasoline in 5 years, and that's great news for an estimated 41.3 million Americans who will be driving to their Thanksgiving destinations. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
Join Live 95. Thanksgiving Day, as we begin a new tradition here in Coleman. Based on a true incident in his life that began on Thanksgiving Day in 1965, and which inspired a 1969 movie of the same name, Arlo Guthrie recorded Alice's Restaurant in 1967. Tune in at 12 noon or 5 p.m. on Thanksgiving Day to hear Alice's Restaurant, right here on Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio. You're listening to This Week Live, a public affairs program airing here on Live 95. This program focuses on activities taking place in the city of Coleman, within the state of Alabama, and across the branches of the federal government up in Washington. Information presented on this show comes from a variety of sources, and although the hosts have attempted to individually validate each story for its authenticity, you should also attempt to validate each story yourself. Opinions presented on this show may or may not be the opinions of the owners, management, or advertisers of this station.
Pardon?
Trent Reznor produced this song. Trent Reznor.
Ah. Welcome back to This Week Live, the public affairs show all about state, local, and national, well, mostly national issues.
So I would like to say that I am so glad that a tradition that we had back up north, up in the Great White North that I'm from, which it's really not Great White North, but, you know.
Probably was a week or two ago.
Yeah. So I'm glad that we are carrying on a tradition that one of the radio stations up there also had at Thanksgiving, and that is Alice's Restaurant.
Good stuff.
I am so glad that sometimes traditions transcend not time and space, but location.
I many times have to ask myself how many people in Coleman have actually heard that song, and I'm venturing to guess, especially if you're my age or younger, not very many.
Well, like I said, I heard it every Thanksgiving, so.
Yep, that will change come Thanksgiving Day, hopefully, if you tune in at 12 o'clock or 5 o'clock.
Yeah, please tune in. It's just a fun little thing, and, you know, he talks about Thanksgiving.
Yeah, be prepared to prop your feet up. You'll need about half an hour to hear that song.
Yeah, it's just a fun little tradition, and I'm glad we're able to do it here.
Yep.
And I am also glad, and I'm going to say this on the record.
Really?
I'm glad that we
made you know.
The decision to not play Christmas music until after Thanksgiving. Yes, people?
Mm. Yeah.
We right. are not playing Christmas music until after Thanksgiving.
And I have to give a little, I've been working my tail off on this. And the Christmas music that you're going to hear on Live 95, and you're not going to hear it, you know, nonstop, at least until about Christmas.
Right. I think we've decided the day before.
The week of, I think. Something like that.
I think the
Maybe
day.
Maybe we're still hashing that out.
The day before Christmas Eve, we are going to go full Christmas music. So December 23rd. Through to December 26th.
But, you know, some of the stations around here, I'm not going to name them because they annoy me very greatly.
So we've got
they
three
play the
now,
same 30 songs over and over and
we've
over.
We've got three radio stations in the area right now
One,
playing Christmas
two,
music, don't
three.
We?
I think there's four.
Oh, come yeah. on, people.
We were actually, or I was somewhere today, and I actually said, I was at the Community Shopper's Guide today, and I actually said, Merry Christmas, and I got the biggest frown back from those people, and they said, it's Thanksgiving first.
So, breaking news, everybody, from CNN Alert, breaking news.
Oh?
Announcement of grand jury decision on whether to indict Ferguson officer Darren Wilson.
Delayed.
Expected at 8 p.m. Central.
Shocking.
So what, do they want to wait until it's dark?
They want everybody to go to sleep.
So they want to wait until it's dark and more dangerous for all the riots to happen?
All right. Before I go to talking about the county commission meetings, and I'll go
or
there.
Maybe they want to just prepare. Maybe they just want to make sure they have every person in exactly the right place.
With exactly the right National Guardsman pointing a rifle at them, right?
Yeah, maybe that. Well, let's
making sure they don't do anything.
Let's hope that's why they've done it.
Yeah. You and I talked about this article that I'm fixing to read a few months, I think, before we even talked about doing this show, which is not entirely accurate because we talked about doing this show like the first day of the radio station.
Right.
But this is an article that made national news, but it actually focuses on Coleman. And because it's becoming Christmas season, and we're talking about, what have we talked about? You know, jobs versus quality jobs versus right. jobs that pay good wages. This is an article that was posted in the Washington Post, our favorite newspaper. And I'm just going to read it to you. This takes place in Coleman, Alabama.
Well, tell us about who the author is so that we aren't plagiarizing.
I don't see a name of the author.
Well, that's fine. They know it's from the Washington Post, so that's fine.
I'm scrolling to the bottom. I'm going to see if there's an author down there. Nope, but interestingly, look at what the top money story is below the article.
Oh,
isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Yeah, I'll have to read that later. That's a topic that we've talked about but not named today.
Yes.
Okay, back to the top. If you have comments on this article or any of the other things we talked about today, and you would like to have a conversation with us, we would love for you to give us a call, 256-737-9951. In Cullman, Alabama, the love seat and sofa that Jamie Abbott can't quite afford ended up in her double-wide trailer because of the day earlier this year when she and her family walked into a new store called Buddy's. Now, overnight, that kind of morphed from Blockbuster to Buddy's.
Right.
Abbott had no access to credit, no bank account, and very little cash, but there was a place that catered to exactly those kinds of customers. Anything in that store could be hers. The possibilities and the prices were dizzying. At Buddy's, a used 32-gigabyte early model iPad only costs $1,439.28.
What?
Paid over 72 weeks. An Acer laptop? $1,943.28, paid over 72 weekly installments.
What? These are used?
Yeah, probably so. Or maybe they're new. I don't know. Do you know anyone who's paid $1,439 for a laptop or an iPad? I don't. $1,943 for an Acer laptop. But apparently if you go into Buddy's and finance this over 72 weeks, that's what you're going to pay. Abbott wanted a love seat sofa combo, and she knew it might rip her budget. But this, she figured, was the cost of being out of options. You don't get something like that just to put a burden on yourself, she said. 5 years into a national economic recovery that has further strained the poor working class, a.k.a. this story was in the Washington Post, an entire industry has grown up about handling a lifeline to the people, the material rewards of middle-class life. Retailers in the post-Great Recession years have become even more likely to work with customers who don't have the money up front, but instead offering a widening spectrum of payment plans that ultimately cost far more and add to the burdens of life on the economy's fringes. Yes, folks, this story was written about Cullman. Or a particular store in Cullman. And I'll tell you why. I think near the bottom of the article it explains that the Buddy's store in Cullman is the best performing store of the entire chain. The poor today can shop online, paying in installments, or walk into a traditional retailer such as Kmart that now offers in-store leasing. The most striking change in the world of low-income commerce has been the proliferation of rent-to-own stores such as Buddy's Home Furnishings, which has been opening a new store every week, largely in the South. In some ways, the business harkens back to the subprime boom when the early 2000s occurred, when lenders handed out loans to low-income borrowers with little credit history. That was kind of the beginning of the end for the economy. But when people in those days were charged perhaps an interest rate of 5 to 10% at retail centers, the poor find themselves paying effective annual interest rates of more than 100%.
Wow.
Let me read that again. The poor find themselves, of course they don't find themselves because they don't realize this, paying an effective annual interest rate of more than 100%.
Wow.
With business models such as rent-to-own, in which transactions are categorized as leases, stores like Buddy's can avoid state usury laws and other regulations. And yet low-income Americans increasingly have few other places to turn. Congratulations, you're pre-approved, Buddy says on his website, and the message plays to America's bottom 40%. This is a group that makes less money than it did even 20 years ago, and a group that increasingly is likely to string together paychecks to paychecks to paychecks by holding multiple part-time jobs with variable hours.
So I thought our economy was doing great.
For some people.
Okay.
It's a group whose jobs not so long ago were more secure, and were better paying. They could pay cash at Walmart and have access to more affordable credit. But today, with the excesses of the subprime boom lending leading conventional banks to stay away from low-income borrowers, this can many times be their only option. Compared with pre-recession highs, the riskiest borrowers have all been cut off to access to big loans like mortgages, particular experts in the industry say. Again, the Washington Post or Washington Times. Basically, the market pulled back from all income borrowers instead of trying to figure out a way to serve them, said Michael Barr, who is a University of Michigan law professor and author of a book called No Slack, The Financial Lives of Low-Income Americans. Nobody wants to buy items for amounts 2 to 3 times what they'd cost at a retail store. That would be common sense. But when Abba did her shopping in February, she didn't have the money to make even a small lump sum payment for anything of decent quality, even buying from Craigslist. She couldn't buy via a layaway plan. Walmart offers that option only during the holiday season. Perhaps she could have saved up the money on her own, but whatever she has tried to do, her stash has always been wiped out to handle daily basic needs. Rent-to-own was basically all we could do, Abbott, who is now 33, said. So Abbott and her husband walked into Buddy's this past winter, hoping to replace the old sofa in their trailer that was a whopping 6 years old. Its wire was poking through the bottom, cutting gashes into the living room floor and to anyone he was sitting on the couch. Probably not a good way to sit. Their decision to spring for a new sofa was, if anything, a bet on the most optimistic art in their family. Donald, her husband, was getting regular work, sometimes making a whopping $500 a week, paid by the load to haul pure chicken guts, something we do around here, that's generally used for pet food to factories across the South. If he could keep up the pace and keep up the demand, and the demand for orders would remain, they'd be okay. Inside Buddy's, Abbott walked over to a brown Ashley Furniture model, something that she and her husband agreed would fit the colors of their Buccaneer trailer. They love the love seat and cup holder console in the middle of the cushions were plush, and when they took turns testing the feel, I realized it could pivot like a rocking chair. It was the greatest thing since sliced bread. I about died when I saw that, Abbott said a few months later. By the next day, the Abbotts had remade a living room. Two companion pieces, both of the same blended material, a whopping 17% leather. The love seat and sofa retailed together for around $1,500. Abbott would pay for hers over 2 years, though she still had the option to pay monthly or weekly, or even in advance if she wanted to. The total price that she paid weekly, $4,158.
Wow.
Next section of the article. I've never seen a customer base or an economy like this, and I just spit all over the microphone. A rent-to-own store provides a front-row seat to observe the best bottom of the economy, and it's here at the Buddy's right here in Coleman where customers first gamble that they can handle the payments, even as the new weekly or monthly installments lessen their slack. And it's here when those gambles pay out as customers persist or falter in keeping up with what they owe. I have a hunch after this article, Buddy's is probably not going to want to advertise with us, you think?
Probably not.
Some persist. The Iraq war veteran who comes in walking past the camouflage armchairs and bank of flat-screen TVs with envelopes of cash. The hairdresser, he says, if it's been a bad week, I'll give Buddy's what I have. But the 37-year-old grandmother, he says that pretty much everything in her house comes from that store. Most people falter. At the Buddy's in Coleman, right here, some 75% of the items are returned or repossessed within weeks of the transaction. That from store manager Angela Schutt. Hopefully Angela is listening right now and maybe not smiling too much. And nationally, the percentage of returns has been gradually ticking upward, a sign of growing struggles for lower-income workers, said Joe Gazzo, who is the president of Buddy's. I've never seen a customer base or economy like this, Gazzo said in a telephone interview from the company's headquarters in shiny Tampa, Florida. You may have five people open an account in a day, but five people return in a day. You almost become like a Blockbuster. That's kind of ironic.
Since who was Blockbuster?
Buddy's and his larger competitors, Aaron's and Rent-A-Center, Melissa, we have both an Aaron's and a Rent-A-Center here in Coleman.
Right.
Are criticized by some consumer advocates for predatory strategies. I wonder why. Items are labeled with a buy one's cash prize and an installment price. The weekly payments given the largest type size. In Coleman, Buddy's employees own it faster for less, they say. Inside the doors at trailer parks and government housing complexes. Really? I didn't read that the first time around. They actually advertise at trailer parks and government housing complexes?
I don't know.
That's what the article says. But those in the industry say that they offer a legitimate service to an easy-to-overlook customer base. Customers who can't make payments face no penalty because they start out as renters, not owners. They don't face debits, they don't face debts or credit damage if they make a return. Moral of the story, next paragraph, quote, "The Coleman store is one of Buddy's best performers," unquote. And now you know why they based the story on Coleman. And the five employees are emphasized with their customers. Derek Bland, who drives around the county repossessing items from derelict renters, just left a job next door at Papa John's. Brandy Day, one of the salesmen, winces when talking about the jewelry that Buddy's keeps near the register. Take away a 42-inch TV from someone, that's one thing. But take away a wedding ring? Question mark. Buddy's rapid expansion was rooted in the economic crisis. As recently as 2007, Buddy's family private run was essentially a Florida-based company. But as the first mortgages started going bust, Buddy saw 6,000 products returned over the next several weeks. The initial goal of expansion, Gazzo said, was less about domination than survival. Buddy's wanted to get away from Florida, the epicenter of the real estate bubble. The company found itself with a thriving strategy almost by accident. On a website for potential franchise owners, Buddy said that many customers who had access to subprime loans before the recession are now unable to obtain traditional financing and therefore must remain with the rent-to-own customer base. In 2008, Buddy's had 80 stores. You know how many it has now?
No.
204.
Wow.
By 2017, it wants to have 500. So you can Google this article. I'm being told that I'm staying on it just a little bit too long. And it actually gets worse as he gets to the bottom. It actually interviews some of the people who work there a little more and interview the Abbotts a little bit more about how they're trying to make their payments and things like that. But just something that you need to be aware of and something I thought that we would shine just a little bit of light to here on This Week Live. Did you have something you needed to add, or we're just going from there? All right, well, I'll tell you what, we'll take another quick break, and we'll be back in just a few moments. If you'd like to comment on that story, or if you'd like to comment on anything we talked about today, 256-737-9951. You're listening to This Week Live on Coleman's Live 95.
Jonas in America, no tricks at the wheel. Anyone, they don't even just pretend. Jonah's an American. I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world.
Join Live 95 Thanksgiving Day as we begin a new tradition here in Coleman. Based on a true incident in his life that began on Thanksgiving Day in 1965 and which inspired a 1969 movie of the same name, Arlo Guthrie recorded Alice's Restaurant in 1967. Tune in at 12 noon or 5 p.m. on Thanksgiving Day to hear Alice's Restaurant right here on Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio.
Hello, Coleman. My name is Jason Spiegel, and along with my co-host, Lenny Barnes, we want to extend a special invitation to join us each Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. for Sports Talk Live.
Each Tuesday, we will announce the People's Bank Player of the Week, as well as discuss the past week top high school and college games.
Don't miss Thursdays when we welcome regular guest Greg Smith with OnlyBestBets.com at 4:25 p.m. and Greg Vosta with Campus Insider at 4:45 p.m.
Once again, please join us each Tuesday and Thursday from 4 until 6 for Sports Talk Live right here on 95.5 Live 95 WRJM, Coleman's Independent Radio.
Sports Talk Live is brought to you in part by our friends at People's Bank, who bring you Ayers Moolah each and every week, as well as the Player of the Week, and our other fabulous sponsors, such as Cynthia Phillips, your Alpha Insurance Agent, AK Rentals, Cyber Broadband, Fuller Optical, Michael's Flowers and Gifts, Morton Buildings, Odin's Auto Glass, Scissor Salon, and Tommy Warhurst at the Warhurst Agency, your Farmers Insurance Agent. Hi, I'm Jay Fuller. You may remember hearing me on this frequency way back in the 90s when we were oldies, 95.5. Well, sooner or later, the good times and the great oldies went away, and WFMA started playing some good old country favorites. After a few years, though, that went away altogether. Well, now we're back, and we're the all-new Live 95, Coleman's independent radio station. We were granted a low-power FM license, and we're bringing a unique blend of music to Coleman for the very first time ever. Since launching the station back in April, we've had a tremendous response on our Facebook page. Search for Live 95 Coleman on Facebook, and you can join us there, too. We've also added several features like Sports Talk Live, which airs each Tuesday and Thursday at 4 p.m. with hosts Jason Spiegel and Ronnie Barnes. And we've added Friday Night Live, play-by-play, with hosts Tommy Warhurst and Jason Coretti.
I also want to give a special thanks to the Baker family, Larry Baker, who first introduced me to radio back in the 90s, and Charles Baker and Baker Productions for the behind-the-scenes engineering here. We're not done yet. We'll become even more interactive with our listeners in the coming weeks, including giveaways from our Facebook page, as well as more local community involvement and the expansion of our music library, like it's not vast enough anyway. So thanks for listening to the all-new Live 95. Come check us out at www.live95coleman.com. Stream us on the TuneIn app if you can't get enough of the actual station. And if you're a new listener, welcome to the all-new Live 95. We are Coleman's Independent Radio.
You're listening to This Week Live, a public affairs program airing here on Live 95. This program focuses on activities taking place in the city of Coleman, within the state of Alabama, and across the branches of the federal government up in Washington. Information presented on this show comes from a variety of sources, and although the hosts have attempted to individually validate each story for its authenticity, you should also attempt to validate each story yourself. Opinions presented on this show may or may not be the opinions of the owners, management, or advertisers of this station.
5:44. Welcome back to This Week Live. Melissa, we are on a roll. We almost know what we're doing now in week four.
Yep, I think we are getting the hang of this.
Last week it was like, we only have an hour to talk about it. What are we going to do the next hour?
And we ended up, we could have talked for another hour after that.
Yep, I do believe so. Your comments, welcome, 256-737-9951. The next segment that I'm going to go into, I try to keep everyone up to date on some of the activities that are occurring in the city and in the county. And the way I do this, Coleman City website, ColemanCity.org, the county website, www.co.coleman.al.us. You can get county commission meetings there. You can get planning commission meetings with the city. You can get city council meetings. Generally, these meetings occur once or twice a month, and then it takes about a month for the meetings minutes to actually be approved and posted online. So we have a new one this week. This is actually from the day before Halloween with the county commission, and I just want to kind of go through a few bullet points here. I don't want to read this verbatim necessarily. But I think it's good for our listeners to have an idea of some of the stuff that occurs at these meetings. So, a couple of public comments. Edna Leith, who is a resident of Coleman County, stated that she has addressed the commission previously, but she does not feel she's being respected and wanted items placed on the agenda. The chairman stated that if there is a specific issue she wanted addressed, she should bring it to the commission office by Friday, preceding the commission meeting. She was told there is a work session prior to that, and that is when the meeting is made open to the public, or after that work session. And I can tell you, most of the stuff occurs in those work sessions. So there was a conversation between the chairman and a couple of the commissioners if they were aware with what was done to trees that were blown down several weeks ago in a storm that caused damage at Sportsman's Lake Park. We know all about that storm because we're still waiting for items to be picked up from our street from that particular storm.
Right.
They were scheduled to go to the landfill, but neither had any knowledge otherwise. Apparently, trees were taken down to a sawmill, and they were going to be returning the wood to the park to be used on various projects. That's cool, except for Commissioner Yarbrough, who wanted to know who was going to be paying for the milling of the trees since the county had not issued a purchase order for the work. Apparently, somebody, one of the commissioners, stood up and said he would pay for it personally.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
Well, there's no reason for all that wood to go to a landfill anyway.
Well, I agree. That's cool. And I can remember after the tornadoes came through in 2011, they actually set up a couple of burn sites around the county, and that's how they took care of some of the debris there. But
well, still, burning is not quite as ecological sound as...
And if they can reuse it somehow, that's cool.
Yeah, reuse that stuff.
So the mayor of Bailiton, Mayor Johnny Dyer, acquired about a $500 appropriation request he had made for the senior citizen in Bailiton. He says he has seniors inquiring when money would be received. He reported, quote, "I shouldn't have to come up here and beg y'all for money. We are just a little town that draws a mere measly $225,000 a year. I go to all these here meetings and y'all talk," and I'm not paraphrasing, this is exactly how the minutes read. "I go to these here meetings and y'all talk about is how important seniors are in this community. I guess I'll go explain how much y'all care about them." The chairman stated that appropriations are given for polling maintenance and operational support, not for the operation of senior centers. The Bailiton Senior Center is owned by the town of Bailiton. Your comment? No comment? Okay. One of the commissioners explained, with limited funds, the commission had focused on providing funding for the polling centers in unincorporated areas of the county which don't have a tax base. Polling places and municipalities can ask for funding from their town or city. Mayor Dyer from Bailiton again stated that he has received funding previously and wanted to know why it's different this time. Chairman of the commission stated that the county provides an appropriation for polling places, but not for the running of a senior center in a municipal setting. Quote, Johnny, everything you've ever asked for from the county you've got, except for this one thing. Mayor Dyer left without further comment. Commissioner Hicks and Commissioner Yarborough addressed a meeting thanking the citizens of Coleman County for trust and operation that they had over the last 4 years as associate commissioners. Commissions worked well together. They feel a lot has been accomplished. They also mentioned a couple of the things that were accomplished, including work on the 222 interchange beginning. New business. The chairman was going to sign a disclosure by an underwriter for proposed refunding of the 2005 and 2007 warrants. These are basically insurance policies for various work that was bidded out, etc. The work was completed and then that was returned. An agreement was proposed to be signed between the Coleman County E-911 Board and the Sheriff's Department and the Coleman County Commission. Commissioner Yarborough made a motion to authorize the chairman to sign an agreement between E-911 Sheriff and the Commission for a 50-50 split of money received for 911 charges that are applied to phone bills. Apparently, the Sheriff's Department receives all of those revenues currently, and that passed. Consider obtaining an appraisal of property that's located at 140 County Road 536 in Hanceville. This was left to the Coleman County Animal Shelter in an estate. We talked about this a few weeks ago when we went over that.
I remember that.
Yep, so apparently they're going to get an appraisal on that. They're going to authorize the chairman to sign a state plan of operations between the State of Alabama Law Enforcement Support Office and the Coleman County Animal Control. Consider a request from the Coleman County Concert Association for $4,800 appropriations for their 2014-15 concert season. That was passed on a unanimous vote. A request for the Berlin Community Center for $500 for polling maintenance and operational support also passed. A request from the Newground Fellowship to hold an outreach event at the south parking lot of the courthouse on October 30th. Of course, that was passed, and that's already happened. There is a resolution set to set the speed limit on County Road 691 at 20 miles an hour. Set speed limit on County Road 501 at 20 miles an hour. My guess is people speed too much on those roads.
Perhaps. I mean, they probably see a dirt road and think, ooh, I can go as fast as I want to go.
Yep. Some of this, I know, is old news because we've got the surplus of the 2005 Ford Taurus, which is better than buying a brand-new vehicle, I believe, was in the last one.
Right.
That's from the probate office, trying to figure out why the probate office needs a 2005 Ford Taurus. Apparently, the bid has been awarded for resurfacing County Road 1101, which we talked about last time around. Wow. Did I read this before? I think I did. Joey Martin, the IT director for the county, stated bids have been received for 6 month contracts of computer equipment. White River, who currently has the bid, was a low bidder. He recommended awarding the bid. I believe I went off on a tangent on this last time. Why are we doing business with some company called White River that's not even in Coleman?
Right.
So that's all for that.
Shop local.
That's right. So you're going to cover another topic you had over there, I believe.
Sure. I just have a couple of more national topics, but I
bring them on.
We've been talking so much about local stuff. You don't have any more local stuff to talk about?
Nope.
Okay. Well, let's go back to the ongoing diatribe I have with Russia stuff. Because one of the things I talked about earlier, what is the media not telling us?
Everything.
Fears of a Russian satellite killer are overblown, according to Fox News. The satellite was launched in May, so I Googled it, as I always do, and found an article on space.com by Mike Wall that states that it is Object 2014-28E. It was launched with three Russian military communication satellites, And truckers are watching it do some pretty strange things. So some analysts are considering it might be part of an anti-satellite program.
Part of an anti-Obama program?
Anti-satellite program. So it's going to go up there. So apparently now not only do they have a way to take down our infrastructure for our power supply, they can also take down our satellites, too. With everything else that Russia is currently doing, doesn't it make you wonder why everything is blown off? Everything that seems to happen, from a submarine being in the Gulf of Mexico to the Russian defense minister saying that they need to fly missions toward the Gulf of Mexico and into the Gulf of Mexico to see what other militaries are doing and to intercept military communications in the Gulf of Mexico. Why is everybody blowing this off? Why is everybody acting like this is not happening? Russia is a superpower. They have the ability to do this stuff. Like you mentioned earlier, we keep slapping sanctions. We keep slapping sanctions. And, you know, they don't have any ties to us.
I have two words for you. A first name and a last name.
What?
Mitt Romney.
Right. I mean,
because you said, why is no one? Well, that was one man who knew what was going on.
Right. How did he know and nobody else knows? I mean, he was the one who said that.
He reads the Washington Post.
He was the one who said that they were our biggest threat. Wasn't it what he said? One of our biggest socioeconomic threats was,
yes,
Russia.
Yes.
And they left him off like he was a darn crazy person.
Yes, they did.
And so, you know, if they would only analyze their own information and see that maybe this stuff that Russia is doing is not so kosher, maybe.
You have to think that somebody somewhere has this information. How many people work in intelligence in this country? I mean, intelligence is a, yeah, anyway. I mean, just reviewing that little program that we watched that has replaced the blacklist. That, you know, we're not, well, it hasn't replaced it, but it's, you know, they're trying this in place of the blacklist.
Right, we're going into withdrawals ever losing the blacklist,
and they go into all of this process where they prepare the presidential daily brief that has the top five, you know, top, you know, threats to the country.
And Charleston decides what the president sees and what the president doesn't see. And you know what? Maybe this is a little bit of liberal leaning, trying to take a little bit of the heat off Obama, saying, you know, Obama doesn't see everything. Obama only
sees... Sure he does. He watches the news. Come on.
Obama only sees what his handlers want him to see. And if anything else has happened in the world, he has to turn on CNN.
Only had one episode. We gave it a little bit of growth rate, but... I mean, my point, back to reality and outside of Hollywood's world, I mean, there are people that are watching this stuff, and yeah, it's not their job to release press releases to the news, and even if they did, it's not necessarily the mainstream media's job to show us. It is their job, but they don't do it.
Right.
They're very picky about, I mean, the Sunday News Show, Cheryl Atkinson, you know, she was a former CBS reporter. She was an investigative reporter. It was her job to expose things like this. She was shut down, according to her, and apparently she's written,
right,
a book and probably going to be making a lot of money from it.
Right.
She was shut down by her superiors numerous times because they didn't agree, or they, you know, oh, it might hurt the president's reputation. You can't say that.
So, it's a little bit like ISIS, too. And Chuck Hagel, that was the last point I wanted to touch on. Chuck Hagel is out as Secretary of Defense, the only Republican in Obama's court.
Hmm.
Because he talked about ISIS being more of a threat than Obama wanted to talk about. So he has been not so nicely told goodbye. But
I know everything.
When the ISIS thing first came out, what did Obama say? Oh, it's just the JV team.
Yep.
We don't have to worry about them. They're not going to do anything.
Next thing he's going to tell you that they're defeated and that they're done.
Right, and then the next thing you know, they're beheading Americans and taking over Iraqi oil fields.
And I saw a news article from this is on TV, so it wasn't a news article, but it was a high-ranking official had made the comment publicly that it was the beheading of the individuals that actually got Obama to act. That otherwise he was just like, oh, they're the JV team, they're not doing anything.
So,
not to mention the Red Line and what was it, Syria?
Syria.
Ugh.
So is Russia going to have to shoot down some of our satellites for us to take them seriously? I mean, Russia actually did some mock attacks in Sweden in 2013. They actually flew over Sweden and did some mock bombings in Stockholm. Sweden couldn't even get their planes off the ground, and Russia was done. I mean, what? And now there's a submarine right knocking on Stockholm's door. What is Russia going to have to do before we take this seriously? I mean, and even you last week said that you didn't take it seriously that the Russian hackers were in our power sources, power grids.
I just read an article today that I'm not totally into on the details of it, but I'm sure it was probably a rumor, but somehow e-cigarettes are the newest virus or something. I don't know.
Also, now they're going to hack into e-cigarettes and kill people.
I really don't know.
So that was my rant on Russia.
I will read up on that and make comments for next week.
So that was my rant on Russia for the week.
I think we're done.
I think we're done.
Well, this has been This Week Live.
Ooh, it is 6 o'clock.
Although Melissa and I enjoy keeping each other company, we would love to have your input as well. But not today, because we're about to leave. 256-737-9951 is the number to call. This show and other shows are available on demand at the conclusion of the show, live95coleman.com.
I have a blast doing this. Let's be real. I really enjoy it.
And I'm glad you enjoy it, and I enjoy it as well. Although you're a lot better at it than I am.
Aww.
Have a happy Thanksgiving, everyone. We'll be doing sports talk tomorrow, and then, of course, taking Thursday off. And we'll see you next week. Stay tuned. This has been This Week Live right here on Live 95.
Join Live 95 Thanksgiving Day as we begin a new tradition here in Cullman. Based on a true incident in his life that began on Thanksgiving Day in 1965 and which inspired a 1969 movie of the same name, Arlo Guthrie recorded Alice's Restaurant in 1967. Tune in at 12 noon or 5 p.m. on Thanksgiving Day to hear Alice's Restaurant right here on Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio.
We're the all-new Live 95, WRJM-LP, Cullman.
Ho, 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 nom, nom. Ho, 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 ho.
This is how it starts, two lovers in the dark, on the run from the one that they call share sparks, six guns by the side, and bullets round their waist, two shots to the sky, signal sign for the chase, the safe was nearly empty, and they were nearly free, but was seen by the good eye of the mean Billy Green, and he screamed at the top of his lungs.